want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin to read in verse 23. And I want to read all the way down to verse 32. The Apostle Paul here is giving direction to the church of Corinth on how to properly receive of the Lord's table, to receive communion or the Lord's Supper, however you want to say it, praise God. It's our covenant meal. And the church of Corinth was, they were a zealous church, but they had very little knowledge. And so this letter and the next one that Paul writes, the two letters are to actually instruct them on how to put knowledge with their zeal. You know, Paul never, ever, whenever he would write, would try to curtail people's zeal, but he would always try to show them how to make that zeal work in a positive way for them. Amen? See, some people have knowledge and no zeal, and they're dead as 4 o'clock. Yeah. Amen? Some people have zeal and no knowledge, and they're wild enough to shoot at. Praise God. So, both sides are wrong. So the best way to do it is grab you a handful of zeal and a handful of knowledge of God's word and put them together. Now you've got something that'll work for you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily or in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason or cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or corrected by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Hallelujah. Now, Paul writing here shows us tremendous truth. In the first couple of verses, he shows us all that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and what the meaning of the bread and the cup means. He's showing us all that's in this table and all that's in our covenant for us. Notice he said up here in verse 23, he received this from the Lord. In other words, the Lord instructed him saying, these are Gentiles that never was raised up in the covenant that Abraham had. They need to be taught from the foundation up, praise God. Well, I'm glad that they had to be taught from the foundation up. Sometimes we come to the Lord thinking we know something when really we don't know anything as we ought, amen? Should always remain teachable. I remember finding out, we were born again, went to the Baptist church, and we Baptists, we preached, get born again. We taught born again. We were, thank God the Baptists are very zealous on getting people saved, getting them born again. And so, then I got filled with the Holy Spirit and decided to go to Rhema. And I'm out there and Brother Hagin's teaching. So, I sat there the first several weeks just with my mouth open. I thought, my God, I've never heard any of this stuff before. Lord have mercy. I don't know anything. But then he said he was going to teach on being born again. I thought, oh, glory to God. Now we got a subject I know. Praise God. So I'll just go over there and get in on that teaching. And praise God, finally be able to, had know something, act like I'm one of the spiritual ones this time, praise God. And he got to teaching on being born again, how it's a new birth and how you have a change of heart. And he got into what Ezekiel said about putting a new heart in, 2 Corinthians 5 about being a new creation. About halfway through his teaching, I just got so upset, I just almost couldn't stay the rest of the teaching. Somebody said, why, did you disagree? No, I found out I didn't know anything about being born again either. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I found out that, I just needed to go back to zero and start all over again. Praise God. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes, even in your faith walk, it's good to go back to zero and start all over again and renew everything that you once learned. Praise God. That way it stays fresh in your life. But Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, the first thing he did is he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we know that that bread that Jesus took right after the Passover meal there in the garden when he was ministering, actually he was up in the upper room, but he, you know, whenever he was there in that prepared place, they had Passover, and then he went on into communion. And so we know that that bread that he broke and began to give to the disciples was not his actual body. He's talking about types and shadows here, praise God. But what he's saying is this, just like this bread is being broken now, my body's going to be broken for you also. It represents what I'm going to do for you. And so he begins to tell us that in his body, he's going to form a new covenant. Well, what's in this new covenant? What is in the broken body? When we take this bread and we break it here in just a little bit, what is it that it's to represent to you and me? It's to represent all that Jesus Christ did and accomplished for us on Calvary in his body for us. Amen. Well, what did he accomplish in his body? Well, every earthly blessing that you need was accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificing his body on Calvary's tree. Amen. Anything and everything you'll need on this side of heaven is found in the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says that Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? Because he became a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. Why did he do that? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what's he talking about there? Jesus redeemed us from the full curse of the law. Where at? In his body. When? On the tree. When he was being crucified. Amen. Well, somebody says, what was the curse? Well, you have to go back and find out. You'll find out that the curse of the law was spiritual death. It was sickness and disease and poverty, lack, and want. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter, looking back to the cross, he goes back here and says, Jesus, who himself bore our sins. Notice it says sins, plural. That's not your sin nature. That's your sins, your mistakes, your failures, your mess ups. Amen. Well, anytime you're reading the Bible and sins is S-I-N-S, that's talking about your mistakes, your failures. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ took your sins, your mistakes, and your failures so you could get set free from all the mistakes we make in life? Come on. When you miss it and you fail and you sin, aren't you glad Jesus Christ has already paid the price for those sins to be forgiven? Amen. Who himself bare our sins in his own body. Where? On the tree, on the cross. Hallelujah. Look at that. And having died to sins, look what he says. He says he was that we might be made the righteousness of God. And look what he says. Who by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. So we begin to see that in his body, there's two things that Jesus did. And number one, Jesus took our sins in his own body on the tree and died for our sins, our mistakes and failures, so that we could live a righteous life. Come on, folks. That's why 1 John 1:9 works for us. If you confess your sins freely, God is faithful and just to his nature and promises and will forgive your sins and blot out those transgressions. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid the price for you to receive forgiveness for your mistakes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody comes along about now and says, oh, Pastor Darrell, you preach like that, you get people licensed to sin. No, you'll sin enough without a license. You don't need a license to sin. You'll sin plenty without a license. No, I'm giving you a license to make a correction when you do mess up. Amen? Because if you're truly a Christian, you don't want to sin. See, when I became a Christian, God changed my want to. Hallelujah. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be in rebellion. I don't want to live a worldly life. Amen? I want to live for God. But how many of you found out just because you made Jesus Lord and you want to live for him, you know, you still have some flesh to deal with? Anybody here besides me have a flesh to deal with? Anybody here have a problem if somebody does you wrong, maybe you ever reacted the wrong way? Huh? Come on. God's moving. Conviction's coming. Hallelujah. I can see hands getting up. Amen. Well, thank God Jesus took our sins in his own body. And so when I take that bread and I break it here in just a little bit, I can rejoice knowing that even if I messed up and I confess my sins sincerely and repent, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins because Jesus paid the price for me to have mercy and not judgment. Hallelujah. But also by whose stripes you were healed, by his bruises. There's healing for my body. Isaiah 53 says that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Thank God we can have peace and well-being today. When I break that body today, I should be releasing my faith saying, Lord, I'm believing you for healing to come into my body, for every symptom to leave. And I'm believing you for peace to come into my mind. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me well-being. Praise God. Come on, church. That's good news today. And this is what Paul is delivering to the church. He's wanting you to understand what your communion meal means to you, what Jesus did for you. And when you take this, he says, you're proclaiming this. Hallelujah. You're declaring this. You're showing to the world, I believe that Jesus took care of my sins so that in this life, I can live a life that's free from guilt and condemnation. Even if I mess up, if I repent and sincerely confess it, God is faithful and just and he'll forgive me so that I don't have to live a life under morose or defeat or darkness or condemnation, but thank God Jesus is there and he'll help me through my problems. Amen. And also if I get attacked in my body, thank God I can receive healing in my body and walk in divine health. Praise God. But he didn't stop there. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you should get to know it. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Well, what about his grace? Well, in this particular set of scriptures in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he's talking about a prosperity grace or a provision grace. He's not talking about just grace to get saved. He's talking about grace to meet your needs. Ooh, glory to God. Isn't that good news? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that grace, Paul? That though he was rich, yet in his poverty you were made poor. Look what he says. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that in his poverty you might become rich. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Somebody says, that mean I'm going to be a millionaire? I hope so, and tithe to this church. Hallelujah. Amen. But no, actually it means this. God has prepared a way for you to have a rich, full, abundant supply so you can live a good, successful, victorious life here on earth. Amen. Come on, church. And when you break that bread, you can look at that bread and you can say, debt, you cannot dominate me. You cannot keep me from walking in victory. Devil, you have to let go of my finances. You got to let go of that job. You got to let go of my raise. You got to let go of my bonus. Devil, you got to get out of my life because Jesus has already paid the price so that I could prosper and be successful. And I'm going to take this bread and declare that Jesus is my Lord. And I proclaim today that I'm no longer under guilt or condemnation. I am no longer going to live in sickness and disease, and I'm not going to live in poverty like in one, because my God supplies all my needs, and I'm walking in victory today. And Lord, I'm honoring you, and this bread represents what you did for me, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everything you could need is provided for you, and the Lord is reminding you, and every time you take this supper, you're to be reminded that Jesus is your Lord. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You operate under the laws of God, not the laws of the world. Somebody says, what are you talking about? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, there's the law of gravity. You have to operate on that. I don't care how much you confess you can fly. You jump off a roof, you better have a good hospitalization. Amen. Huh? Because your faith won't work when you break natural laws. Amen. Huh? Well, I'm going to dive down 100 feet and believe I can get back up. Well, you better have some good paramedics up there to resuscitate you and get the water out of your lungs when you come back. Because your confession won't work in that situation. You're breaking the laws of nature, natural. But I'm talking about we live under the laws of the kingdom of God, the law of grace, the law of mercy, the law of righteousness. Hallelujah. And I can approach God without a sense of guilt and condemnation because I am a child of God. Amen. And Jesus is my Lord. But let's go ahead and read on down here in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body. Notice you're to eat that, meaning what? You are to bring all of this into you. It's not just enough to know this. You have to make this a part of your life. To eat something means it becomes a part of you. Amen? I make this a part of the way I think, the way I live, how I trust God. It becomes a part of me. God is wanting to be in me. He's wanting to be involved in me. He's wanting to bring His blessings into me. Amen? So He says, as often as you eat this bread, He says, and He said, take, eat, that this is My body which is broken for you, and do it in remembrance of Me. In other words, when you eat this bread, say, everything the Lord has provided for me is now available to me and in me and with me and operating in my life. Amen? Then number two, look down here in verse 25. He says, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Well, the bread is the temporary blessings of this life, the blessings of this side of heaven, but the blood is the eternal blessings that we have on the other side of heaven, praise God. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that you receive eternal life and eternal salvation, praise God. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1 over here, you can read, and the Apostle Peter tells us this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless or vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, he said, your good works didn't get you, can't get you and didn't get you saved. Amen. Well, I put a dollar in the offering today. I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. You're just a sinner that put a dollar in. You can't get in on that. Well, I'm a good person. Well, there are a lot of good people that are right now tormented in hell because they didn't make Jesus Lord of their life. So just being a good person doing good works, that doesn't bring you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what brings me in? He says this, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you receive redemption, praise God. That's how you get saved. You have to get saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you take the blood, the cup there, what you're saying is this, is not by my might or power, not by my good works or my good deeds, but Lord, by the work that you did on Calvary's cross and that the fact that you put your blood on the mercy seat. See, in Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll look down here in verse 11, but if you read the first 10 verses, you'll find that Paul, or the writer of the book of Hebrews, I've always thought it was Paul, but anyway, he's writing a revelation to the people here, the Hebrew Christians, and he's saying this. He's saying in those first few verses, he said the early tabernacle, it had earthly worship and it had the table and the show, it had all these things. And he said, but the priest would go into the holiest of holies once a year with the blood of an animal. He said, but the trouble was is this, it could never change your conscience, could never change your nature. See, folks, most religions deal with your works, most religions deal with your conduct. Most religions try to make you a better person. But Christianity changes your nature. Jesus didn't just come to change our conduct or educate us on how to handle things. He came to change our hearts. He came to change our conscience. He came to take a sin consciousness out of us and put a righteousness consciousness in us. Amen? In other words, He changes us from the inside out. Amen? He works on the heart. And so he says this, while the old covenant was in operation, all you could do is have your sins covered, but you could never change your heart. You could never change who you were. You could never change your nature. So look what he says in verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come. Woo, hallelujah. When Jesus was coming, he was coming for the good things that would follow his work on Calvary. And he says this, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Now, not with the blood of goats and calves, and but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for you and me. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. Now listen. Here's where you start shouting, praise God. How much more? Yeah. Woo, glory to God. If the priests under the old covenant could take the blood of bulls and goats and put them on a place here on the earth and cover your sins, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now listen, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I'm not a Christian because I changed the way I dress. I'm not a Christian because I go to a building. I'm a Christian because I had a change of nature. God changed my heart. I made Jesus my Lord, and He took the old heart out and put a new heart in. He took the sin nature out and put the nature of God in. Hallelujah. He changed my want-tos. Hallelujah. He changed who I am. That's why there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the old man's dead and I'm a new man, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, what if you think back to something you did before you got saved? I just laugh and praise God and think, but you know. And somebody says, why you laugh and praise God? Because that old man's dead. He's been buried a long time ago. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I never did that. That was the old man that did that. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. That's passed away. And devil, you're just trying to bring up something to condemn me with. Well, devil, if you want me to bring up something to you, I can show you what you used to be. Only yours is reversed. You used to be a great angel that worshiped God. Now you're a stupid devil that's in hell. I used to be a stupid sinner that was going to hell. Now I'm a child of God going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't want to be comparing past and future together because mine is a whole lot brighter than yours. Hallelujah. But you see, you have to get this in your heart. You have to let this become real. And that's why the Lord is saying, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in remembrance. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember what Jesus did for you. Remember your benefits as a child of God. Remember that God changed who you are and made you a child and did for you what you could not do for yourself. And if you'll grow in this and know this and put it in your life, it'll change and transform who you are every day of your life. Amen. Because Christianity is not a once and done deal. Have you found that out? See, Christianity, Jesus said in John 10, He said, I'm the door. Well, the door is just the first entrance. I mean, that's getting in it, praise God. And just because you said, Jesus, be my Lord, that means you came in. That doesn't mean you've been all through the house. A lot of people get saved and just stop at the door. Well, don't stay at the door. Come on in. There's all kinds of wonderful things in that house. Hallelujah. And you get to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. So get in there and hang out with people. Praise God. Hang out with those that are learning how to be healed. Hang out with those that are learning how to prosper. Hang out with those learning how to be in authority. Hang out with those people learning how to live a free, guilt, condemnation, free life. Hallelujah. Learn to live with people and walk with people and find out all the good things God has for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, look what he says. He goes on down here, and I want to read verse 26 to you out of the Message Bible. And now the Apostle Paul begins to tell us how to approach this table and what we need to do to make these benefits real in our life. He says, what you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Ooh, isn't that powerful? Don't ever become just familiar with things. See, I'm concerned today that the church has allowed familiarity to come in and we've lost the zeal and the passion and the reality of what Christ has done for us. See, you can get going to church, just make it a familiar thing. I'm going to church, I'm getting ready to go, and it's not a special thing for you. Your Christianity become, you know, a routine instead of a walk with God. And so Paul is writing here and he said, don't just make this something you do. Just don't make this a familiar religious act, because if you do, that's how you're going to live for God. See, never let your Christianity grow dim or cold or just something you do. Make it something you live every day. Make your walk with Christ alive and zealous and passionate and full of purpose every moment of every day, praise God. And when you come and receive at the Lord's table, He's saying, just don't let it become a familiar thing. Oh, yeah, we're going to have communion this Sunday, and, you know, we're going to go, and you know, I'm going to eat a little piece of bread and drink some sour juice. No. He's saying, listen, when you come to this and you receive this table, he said, make this receiving this table how you're going to live for God every day of your life. that you're going to celebrate your redemption in Christ Jesus. You're going to celebrate that you got a Lord that said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You're going to celebrate that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Every day you're going to get up and be alive in God. Every day I'm going to get up and thank God I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and Jesus is my Lord. I'm going to enjoy the journey. I'm going to enjoy the walk. I'm going to go out here and live for Christ and let my light shine to others. Praise God. And that's what Paul is telling us right here. He's saying, keep this afresh and keep this alive in your life. Keep your relationship with Jesus alive and fresh and vital and never let it become cold or familiar. Amen? Then he goes on, he says in verse 27, anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives, test your heart, come to this meal in holy awe. Ooh, glory to God. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. Come to this meal with holy awe. He says, test your heart, test your motives. In other words, he's saying, just don't go through the motions. He said, don't represent Jesus with a nonchalant, and I'm out of here. And let's take it a step farther. Let's don't represent Jesus with, thank you, Lord, amen, I'm out of here. I'm going to read my Bible. There's one verse. Praise God, I got my will, got the work in. No. He's saying, keep your walk with God alive, passionate, full of purpose. Amen. Live for God with an holy awe. Amen. In other words, every day get up and just think, I get to talk to the creator of everything. And more than that, I get to call him Abba Father. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. You know, we were looking at something the other night, and it reminded me of heaven, and it actually took back to the crucifixion and Judas and all this different things. And I thought, you know, my goodness, one of these days we're going to be in heaven. I wonder if the Lord's going to let us play back some of those scenes, or, you know, if it's just irrelevant, that's it, and he doesn't care whether we see it or not. Amen. I thought, man, it'd be wonderful one of these days to see if Adam actually made it. Praise God. God did cover him with the skin. Amen. I'm going to ask him, what was wrong with you? Praise God. What were you thinking? No, we won't do that. Amen. But just think about it. He's saying that's how you live your life, that this is real. You make this real in your life. God is real. He's not just a something up in heaven. He's not just a spirit. He's not just a concept. He's real. Jesus was and is a real human being. Do you know that? Even though he is God and deity in the flesh, Jesus still has a flesh and bone body. And when we get there, we're going to see the nail prints in his hands and the scar on his side. And he's going to be real. He's seated at the right hand of God right now. And God is saying, when you come, and he's speaking to Paul, he said, when you come to this table, be that so real that this is reality to you. This isn't just a religious thing that we do, but this is a walk and relationship with Christ. And it's real in our lives. And we're part of this thing, praise God. And Jesus is Lord of our lives. 2 Corinthians 13:5, the message reads it like this. Test yourselves. Amen. Notice the Bible's real strong about us testing ourselves and real against testing others. Amen. In fact, he says, judge not. In other words, I'm not to judge others, but I'm to judge myself, aren't I? Notice he says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Ooh, hallelujah. I like that. Amen. In other words, I'm going to check my own walk out with God. I'm going to test and see if I'm living for Jesus. And if the test comes up negative, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to make Jesus Lord and get in on this thing. Amen. And make him Lord of my life. See, he's telling you and me, we have to take some responsibility about this. God has already done his part, but now you and I are to take some responsibility. If we want these blessings in our lives, then we need to do certain things to consecrate ourselves to walk in these blessings. Amen? Now let's continue to read on. He says here, let's read verse 29. He says, if you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. That's why so many of you even now are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. You know what he's saying? He's saying if we don't recognize the magnitude of what Christ did for us, we can't get the benefits of it. Amen? See, I've got to get the revelation. You know, I didn't give my heart to Jesus until the revelation that he was Lord and there's a heaven to gain and a real hell not to go to. Amen? When that revelation came to me, you know what I did? I acted upon that revelation, asked Jesus to come into my heart, and salvation became real to me. I couldn't get saved because my mom wanted me to get saved. I couldn't get saved because I went to church with my great-grandmother and my grandmother and my mom. And they told me you need to live for Jesus and live for God. I was a good person, but you know what? It had to be a reality in my life. I came to the place where I got saved, not because of somebody else, but because I knew Jesus was real and he was Lord, and I need to make that reality in my life. And that's where everybody has to come to. That's what Paul was saying, test yourself, and if there's something wrong, do something about it. I couldn't get healed, never got healed, live for God. I mean, I was thoroughly saved, going with my pastor out to visit people. I was working in the youth group. I was witnessing on campus, and I'd get sick all the time. Until one day, I got some scriptures, and I found out that Jesus Christ was my healer. Hallelujah. And I got a hold of it by his stripes, and all of a sudden, praise God, the reality hit me. And you know what I did? I changed the way I believed, and I began to believe I could live healthy and strong. And it began to work for me, praise God. I can remember sitting in class at Rhema, and Bonnie and I were living from hand to mouth. What's that mean? It was my hand taking a little scrub of food and giving it to her mouth so she wouldn't pass out. Amen, because we were just barely giving, you know. Hallelujah. You know what they said, living down on barely get along street, down next to Grumble Alley where everybody else is fussing? And because we didn't know God would prosper us. We just thought that, you know, this is the way it is. You know, my family grew up. We, you know, there was an old country song, "We Ain't Nothing But Poor Folks." That was our theme song for our family gatherings. Hallelujah. My mama and my daddy were poor folks, you know. And so we just thought that's the way it was. But thank God I'm sitting in class one day. And one of the teachers said, you know, Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. God wants to prosper you if you'll do what he says. And it went off like a light. And I went, glory to God. I don't have to starve anymore. Hallelujah. And these truths began to be real. But you know what? I had to examine myself and let them become reality to me. And that's what Paul is saying to you. He's saying this morning, this is a meal for all of us, but it's also a meal for you. This is a time for us as a church to consecrate ourselves to God, but it's also a time for you to consecrate yourself to God. Because we're all living stones, each one of us a living stone placed in the house of God to make up his spiritual house. And God is writing to us and he says, you discern what Christ did for you. You make it a reality in your life. And you receive it with reverence and awe. And watch God do something mighty for you. Amen? And then he goes on and he says this in verse 31. He says, if we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. Ooh, hallelujah. Better to be confronted by the master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That's the greatest piece of wisdom you've heard all day. Amen. Pay me now or pay me later. Huh? It's a whole lot better to make Jesus Lord now than to have to face the consequences later. Amen. It's a whole lot better now to consecrate your life to the Lord. And you know, don't wait till you end some kind of a tragic situation before you begin to get the revelation of these things. He says, go ahead and deal with it now. In fact, God honors us dealing with things now on our own. You know how you get blessed? Don't wait till the house is caving in on you to start fixing it. In other words, the Lord says, if you'll check your own heart out, And if you'll deal with it and come to me out of a sincerity, I'll bless you for that. But if you ignore it and act like nothing's wrong and try to get by with it, then eventually I'll have to come deal with it. Because God can't bless sin. James says once sin runs its full course, it produces death, and God will eventually have to judge that. Amen. So he says it's much better now to just go ahead and wake up and realize this is wrong. I need to deal with this. Lord, help me to deal with this. And he says, oh, yeah. And God jumps right in there and releases grace and mercy to help you and blesses you. But if you go along and say, I don't care whether I have to deal with it or not. I'm going to ignore it and maybe it'll go away. I'm just going to live how I want to live. God says eventually that sin's going to run its full course and it will produce death in your life. God says it's better to go ahead and deal with it now. Because if you deal with it now, you can deal with it through my grace and mercy, not with my judgment. Amen. See, folks, right now is the time to give your life to Jesus. It'll be too late when you stand before him. It's too late when your heart beats its last beat and you take your last breath. It's too late. It's too late. Don't let that even be a remote chance of happening in your life. Deal with it now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is when I ask Jesus to be my Lord. While I still have breath in my lungs and a heartbeat in my chest, and I can say, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord. Now's the time to deal with it. Now's the time to test yourself. Now's the time to do something about it. Amen? And this is the thing. You're going to have to do, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you know what you're going to have to do? The same thing all of us did. Because right now, if you don't know the Lord, there is a war going on inside of you. Your flesh and your mind is fighting your heart. And your heart is saying, you know, maybe I ought to do this. And then your mind's getting all these crazy thoughts about, I'm not good. You don't have to do this. You're a good person. You're not going to do it because... And all these things, that's because the enemy's trying to blind you and choke that word out. But you know what? If you go ahead and break through all that and say, you know what? Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you did come to this earth and die on the cross. And I believe you were raised from the dead. I do believe all that. Well, if you believe all that, why not act on it? And the Bible says the way you act upon it is you confess him as your Lord. You say, Lord, I just believe you to come into my heart right now. I confess you as my Lord. And I believe that I receive forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation come into my life. And when you do that, you took care of the situation. Now you get to get in on all the other blessings that come. Amen. And you say, well, I've done that, but I've messed up. Well, aren't you glad that we've already showed you that Jesus paid the price for your sins and mess ups? Well, how'd I straighten that out? Once again, I deal with it. I examine myself. If I'm coming up short, I take control. How do I do that? Lord, forgive me. I've messed up. I confess my sins. And I ask you to forgive me right now. And I believe I receive my forgiveness. See, there's no use asking if you don't receive. Amen. See, if you ask and don't receive, it's like going to the store, getting a grocery cart full of the stuff you want, putting it up. They check it through. You pay for it and you leave, leaving it sitting there in the cart. Why didn't you go ahead and take it? It's yours. Well, I just didn't feel right about it. No. If you're going to ask, receive and believe. Amen? Amen.